We're going to read tonight from Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 1. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. There's God's prophetic statement concerning a king who will reign in righteousness. Now that's an interesting thing, isn't it? Turn with me then to Revelation 11, the last book in the Bible, the book of the Revelation, and it's chapter 11. And we're reading from verse 15. Revelation 11 and verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. Then for our personal appreciation of the king, Romans 5, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Verse 20, moreover the law entered, that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Why Christ must reign? It's pretty obvious that somebody with a bit of authority, efficiency, and ability ought to reign. It's very obvious that the world and the world government is getting out of control. I suppose those who are in power in different countries are doing their best. At least I hope they are. But I think there's too many people to handle now, isn't there? And there's not enough resources coming from the earth. And the population is increasing too quickly. And the distribution of food and resources and oil and so forth is not sufficient to meet the need of all the people. And things are a bit chaotic, aren't they? There is a day coming when Christ will take up government on this planet and dissolve every parliament. There will not be a United Nations. There will not be a European Parliament. There will not be a Kremlin nor a Vatican. There will not be Eastern powers, a Chinese government or that. Jesus Christ will be King of this earth. Now, God said that. And God has got both the power and the authority and the ability to put Christ on the throne of this earth. We might think that to rule a government on earth is a big thing. And we might think that to rule the earth is a greater thing. But I would just say that for Christ, who he is, it's a small thing. At this moment, he is King of kings and Lord of lords, anyhow. So taking on this tiny little mixed up crazy planet is a small thing. But God says, a king shall reign in righteousness. So as God lives on earth with his 4,000 million, that's what they tell us is on the earth of people, with its complete chaos and confusion, disasters and wars and threats of wars and economic crisis after another. God said, we'll take the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and replace him on the planet. And to him, it'll be a very simple thing to put that planet in order. Thank God, I know a man who can bring order out of chaos. And his name is Jesus. And God has ordained that Jesus will personally reign on this earth. When he's going to come, I do not know. And any person who tries to get it would be foolish. Oh, some have in the past, but we're not too worried about that because the dates have passed and didn't come. It is a secret known only to him. The day of the touchdown on planet Earth of the Son of God to use his influence and his authority to subdue nations, to put an end to wickedness, to bring in justice. Yes, that day is known to God. Wouldn't it be wonderful if that gift was revealed to us by an angel? I don't know what effect it would have on us, and we're probably better not to know, because if God wanted us to know, he would have told us, but we don't know. There are so many signs. The proof conclusively that his coming cannot be far away. But one thing I like about Jesus Christ is this. He has selected from earth a great company of people, sinners. I'm one of them actually, sorry to say that. And he said, I'm going to get them to reign with me. I like that very much. That reigning with Christ over the earth and Christ on the earth and sharing that in a most personal way with Christ will be his church or his bride, as we saw last night, will be this vast company of people. And they're going to be in a position just above the planet, not very far. Well, the reason for that, of course, would be that the planet couldn't hold them. It's only a little pinhead of a planet that we've got. one of the smallest in his universe, and it can't hold many people. In 400, between 400 and 500 years' time, we're told that there will be as many people on the earth as there are square yards of earth. That's a shocking fact, isn't it? As many people on the earth as there are square yards. So each person won't have a house to live in, they'll have a square yard to stand. If you want to sit down, you have to push somebody away with your elbows. Well, that'll never happen, no. It'll have to be reorganized inside the next 400 years anyway, for that alone. But then the learned men, the scientists, who must be very clever at something, I'm sure they are, and very often they find things that support the Bible, and if they ever discover anything that contradicts the Bible, then they are totally and absolutely wrong. You can't contradict the Bible and be right. You know that, of course. But the scientists all say that life on this planet, as we know it, cannot exist until the year 2000. So that's what they say. I wouldn't know. They cannot see us surviving until the year 2000. So if you listen to the scientists, who are not supported by the scripture, and do not rely on the scripture to defend themselves, if you listen to them talking from air pollution, water pollution, population explosion, lack of natural resources, and that kind of thing, then this king could be back on earth during the lifetime of a generation that's on the earth now. He's going to make a tremendous change. A king shall reign in righteousness, and a man shall be a hiding place. The answer to the chaos, confusion, disaster, catastrophe of this earth is in a man, not in a god. You don't vote this man into power. He's already in power. There won't be a referendum to see whether you'd like him or not. He's coming whether you like it or not. Because the earth is the Lord. It doesn't belong to the Americans or the Russians. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. And he has designed and ordained that his son will be king of the earth, as well as king of kings. And while on the earth, he'll be king of Israel. And that, of course, is a very small job for him. He's so big, so vast, so powerful. He's infinite. His name is called Jesus. He used to work in a carpenter's shop in Nazareth. He used to climb the hill, and a very steep hill. And he used to walk to Jerusalem, and it's a long walk. He used to lie in the bottom of a boat. He used to sleep on the Mount of Olives. He was captured one night by the forces of the Roman Empire and led like an animal to a mock trial. And his own people, whom he might have looked to for support, rejected him. And when the morning dawned, they said, "Crucify him! Crucify him! We will not have this man to reign over us." Talk about the workers rejecting the management. This was the creatures rejecting the Creator. That's what that was. And the Creator said, "You'll have him, whether you like it or not. He ran over you." And they're all dead anyway. All the crowd that said they wouldn't have them, they're all gone.
And he's still alive! Because God said to him in Hebrews chapter 1, "They shall perish, but thou remainest." Jesus of Nazareth, Stranger of Galilee, Christ of Calvary, is the eternal, everlasting, ever-loving Son of God, King of kings, and Lord of lords. He shall reign. The angels in the Revelation knew it and said that he would come in power and glory and set up his kingdom. Isaiah heard it 700 years before he was born, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Mary heard it from the angel 9 months before he was born. God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign forever. They'll never dethrone God's king. They'll never vote him out. They'll never impeach him. Because he's going to reign in righteousness. Forever and ever and ever. I think the disciples maybe got the hold of that thought after his resurrection. You remember, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Those dear disciples must have been amazed to see their friend from Galilee being taken from prison, taken from the garden, crucified, dying, taken down, put in a tomb, the tomb sealed, and the Roman seal put against the stone. And then when they went in the morning, the seal was broken. Who on earth would break the Roman seal?
Who there? God. He just sent an angel to do it.
Hallelujah. And the stone was rolled away, and the Savior had risen.
And God put the soldiers to sleep and sent two angels to guard the tomb and deliver the message and said, he is not here. He is risen. I like the dignity of that, don't you?
With the Roman Empire trembling to find an answer to their folly, God says, risen from the dead. The disciples took him eventually within a week or two to the Mount of Olives and said these words, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Can we be a nation? Will you be our king? He said no. They were crushed under Roman power. The streets of their beloved land were patrolled by soldiers who were cruel, and they wanted the soldiers to go home to Rome and allow a government to be set up in Palestine, which would be their government. And they wanted this man from Nazareth to be the king. Who better to be the king than one who could rise from the dead? Who better to be their king than one who defied the Roman power, broke its seal and scattered it?
They were prepared to elect him into the position right away. He said no. I will not restore the kingdom to Israel now.
Why? And then he explained to them. He said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What's he saying? He was looking into the face of a Peter, Matthew, John, and he was saying this, fellow, I want to reign in your life before I reign in the country. I want you to know me as the king of your life
before the nation knows me as the king of the earth. Thank God. That was very kind of him, wasn't it?
He said, in actual fact, I am more interested in sinners
than I am in national status.
He said, in actual fact, I am more interested in people than in politics.
Jesus Christ controls politics. You know that. He has them in all of his hands. It'd be a pity if his people get into his road and cause him to have greater difficulty handling the political situation. I believe that every one in his hand. And on a day that he knows, he will dissolve every part on earth and send them all home, redundant. And every parliament building on the planet, United Nations and all the rest like that, could be turned into great supermarkets or filling stations. Totally useless. Absolutely redundant. Of little use now. Because Christ is here to set up his kingdom. But he said to his disciples, the Mount of Olives, not now, boy. Not now. Think for a moment of what the King of Israel would be like in this present situation in which we live. Think of the King of Israel, if there was a king in Israel tonight, as there is in Jordan, in Norway, other countries have their kings. But think of the King of Israel, you know, with the mental picture that people have of Israel, and its power, in its progress. I mean, what kind of a palace would they have for him? And every time he left the country to go to New York, I can see an escort of those fighter aircraft flying on each side of his jumbo. Can't you? I can see the paratroopers of Israel lining the streets as the king passed. I will tell you this. If there was a king in Israel, he would probably today, by earthly standards, be the strongest king on this earth. Could you think of the fuss in London if the King of Israel was coming on a state visit? And they brought that other king last week from one of the African countries. Well, it was a showpiece, wasn't it? The man had not much authority. Lovely man, I'm sure. But think of the King of Israel arriving at Heathrow, riding up the mall in the golden carriage to the palace. It would shake the world. It would, really. You got to think of how big a thing that would be. So he said to the disciples on the hill, look, I'm not interested in that kind of pageantry. I'm not interested in that kind of pomp. I came into the world to save sinners. And before we go for the crown and the glory and the pageantry, and the glory and the pageantry, before I dissolve parliaments and bring down kingdoms and rule the earth, I want to save sinners. And you boys are going to get the power, not the nation. And you boys will have more power in your life than Israel will have when I'm her king. So don't think of it nationally or politically. Think of it personally. I want to be your king. May I? He said to the boy, can I have the throne of your heart? How I would love to have you as my kingdom. And see, Peter said, me? Yes, Peter, I want you to be my kingdom. You know where the kingdom of God is tonight? Well, I tell you, the kingdom of God is on this platform tonight. You say, I don't see anything in the platform. Well, have a look at me. That was me. You thought I was an ordinary person, didn't you? No. I'm the kingdom of God. You're the kingdom of God. I am. Where do you get that? In the Bible. Oh, yeah. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then he says, the kingdom of God cometh not with signs and wonders, but the kingdom of God is within you. Jesus Christ is on the throne of my heart. And I put him there. He said to me, you can, if you want to, or if you don't want to, you want to run your own life, go ahead. And I made a mess of it. And I said, no, Lord, I surrender. I abdicate. I will grab to enthrone Jesus in my heart. And my life is his kingdom, he's my king. Israel can wait for him. I've got him at the moment. Hallelujah. Do you know that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is my personal sovereign? Be careful what you say to me or try to do in me. I don't have a detective watching over me. With a revolver, I've got the King of Kings. He lives within my heart. He goes before me. He follows after me. He's all around me. He's above me. He's beneath me. He said, that's the way I want it. He's got a few million people in the world who live like that. Are you one of them? Is he your king? He must be. Why must he be? Well, you see, it's just the way I was born. I was born wrong, you know that. I was born so wrong that God didn't even try to improve me. I was born so wrong that God didn't even try to correct me. He looked at me, he saw my state, and he said, no, he's got to be born again. He's got to be born again. No use trying to change that. And at 12 and a half years of age, I was born the second time. I was born twice. Well, I was so bad the first time. I had to be born twice. And every person that's going to be in heaven has to be born twice. And if you're not born twice, you won't be in heaven. And of course Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, said to Jesus, how can a man be born when he is old? And Jesus said, you don't understand. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. You've got to have a physical birth, and you've got to have a spiritual birth. And when you're born first, and the little nurse enters the time that you were born, and you got a certificate to prove you were born. Not that you needed one, it's obvious you were born. Anybody can see you were born, you wouldn't be here. And then when you're born the second time, I don't know whether it's an angel or not, but your name's put into the Lamb's Book of Life. You've got to have human life and divine life. And then when Jesus comes in, if you have any sense at all, you make him Lord of your life. King of my life by crowning now. Thine shall the glory be. Jesus wants to reign. But when you were born the first time, when I was born the first time, death reigned over me. And death reigned over you. I was only 6 weeks old when the doctor said, he's not going to make it, he's going to die. And I lost in the first 6 weeks about 4 pounds weight. It's hard for a baby to lose 4 pounds weight. But then I started off at a good start. I was 9.5 pounds to start with, you see. And after 6 weeks, I was 5.5. So that's the wrong direction. I mean, if you go on like that, you just dissolve. So you see, death reigned over me. I could have died any time in 6 weeks. I could have died, I believe, any time after that as well. I've been nearly dead half a dozen times since. I walk in the shadow of death. Don't you? Of course you do. Death is stalking our country. Death is stalking our home.
And if death closes its hand on you, you'll end up tonight in a morgue.
Yes.
You wouldn't be the first to be taken from a meeting to a mortuary.
Because there's nothing we can do about it, really. Death reigns. Death reigns. The Bible said death reigns.
From Adam to Christ.
Death reigns. Death reigns. Death reigns.
Death is the king.
The king of terror.
I'm the terror of kings.
And there's nobody knowing about it. And if death wants to take you,
death will take you.
And so I want something to do away with that power. I don't want to live on a knife edge.
No. I don't want to die, do you?
No. To die under the domain of death, under the authority of death,
means that you go away from God forever, and death is laughing and gloating, delighted at its victory over you.
Death reigns.
Not only death reigns, but sin reigns.
Sin reigns.
Oh, yeah. Don't try to fool yourself. Don't let the modernists, the humanists, or the psychologists deceive you. Sin reigns in your mind.
Sin reigns in your body. And sin reigns unto death. When sin is finished with you, sin hands you over to death,
his partner in crime. And death drags you down to the devil, the boss of the trio. There's the devil and there's sin and there's death, and they're working against you. You might think it's all right, and you might think you're in control, but you're not. No, 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 no.
Sin reigns.
Now, I can tell you this to save you time and money. You needn't go to a clinic to have sin destroyed in your life. A lot of crazy people set up clinics for alcoholics and smokers. I think that's a shame. Oh, it's shameful. And some of the papers publish the names of the people that have been able to stop smoking. Imagine admitting such weakness that you go to a clinic and you struggle and you starve yourself and you chew chewing gum and you peppermint sweet. What kind of creatures are we? A wee flimsy bit of paper with a bit of tobacco rolled up inside it, bringing big men onto their knees, trembling like children, sweating it out, coughing, choking, walking the floor at night, bowing to the authority of a little 3-inch bit of paper.
Screaming! They sell their homes, they sell their furniture, they neglect their children for a glass of colored water. They become alcoholic. They stick needles into themselves. Drug addicts. You can't stop it. Sin reigns. Sin reigns. Good sin reigns. And reigns unto death. Unto death.
There's nobody on earth going to stop that lot. There's nobody. I can tell you. Don't waste your time. But when the King of Kings steps into your life, these other kings are dissolved, are overpowered.
Yeah?
I was preaching at Champion in Bermuda a couple of years ago, and it's a great place for preaching, it's a great place for meeting, and great enthusiasm and that. One night, a big fella kept coming, and somebody said he was a hippie, but I didn't even see him, but he did tell somebody he wanted to come and see me, and he came and see me, and he told me a fantastic story. That he was what the drug addicts call a bomber, not a pusher, a bomber. A bomber was the fellow that got the boat drug and gave it to the pusher, he gave it to the victim. And this fellow used to fly from Bermuda to Piccadilly, London, every week. covered. Picked up his load of stuff and took it back. The result was, with the money he was making, he lived a tremendously high life. He couldn't stop it. He couldn't afford to stop it. He couldn't live without it. And he was destroying the island and the young people on the island with it. He picked a girlfriend up in Piccadilly and took her over there, and she lived with him as his wife. He wouldn't marry her. One night she came back home and she said, "Hey." "Yeah?" She said, "I met some guy and they took me to a meeting, Pentecostal meeting." "Yeah?" She said, "I've accepted the Lord Jesus."
"She said, what?"
She said, "I've accepted the Lord Jesus." She said, "You can't stay in this house. Not another night." So he hit the phone, called a friend. He said, "You give this girl a room. Put her into the car and drove her over. You look after her. I'm finished with her." He said, "That much then." Then our crusade started. She left, came back to London, went to a missionary training college. He came to see me. He said, "I'd love to be a Christian. But that girl shook me to my foundation." He said, "I'm very big money, naturally." He was like a hippie. He didn't appear to be like that. And he said, "If I think that Christ could change my life," he said, I just live on this stuff. I drink and drink and drink. I'm crazy. I'm going crazy." I just told him, I said, "I have absolutely no doubt about it. I don't know what way you live. I don't know what's behind it, but I don't care. I know that Christ can break it, destroy it, and save your soul." He said, "I'll trust him." We knelt in the kitchen. You know, before the crusade was over, I was at a baptism of service in the ocean one morning early. A young man who was with me, I wasn't physically fit to baptize, he baptized not only him, but two aviation engineers from the airport who were the pushers. The pushers. The priest didn't know what to hit them in Bermuda. And these three guys walked out into the water, lovely guys, now. I'm about to die. 1 year later, I was back there. Did something to me, it caused a wee lump in my throat. Oh, when I was sitting at the breaking of bread and those three boys were there. What had happened?
Henry!
But Christ came into their lives and he reigned.
Lord, I don't care what passion you have, what power you have. I don't care whether you're hooked.
He'll set you free. If he couldn't, I wouldn't leave home to talk about him. You can be sure of that.
If I didn't carry in my heart a 100% guarantee that my Savior can meet every need, of every heart, and break every power, and forgive every sin,
I wouldn't leave home. I'd let somebody else go. I sold insurance for 17 years. If you sell insurance, you sell anything. You know, it used to break my heart when I had a good client and I was getting away with this. And then the client told me, "Oh, and maybe I should say I had a heart attack last year." "Oh. They're no good to me. I'll take a cup of tea and I'll go. Bye-bye." We don't insure boys that have heart attacks. You know, no insurance company would. Then some other old boy, he was in the liquor trade. You wonder why they're so keen to insure themselves for 10 or 12 seconds. Until you find that you can't take them. That's an annoyance, isn't it? But I moved from the insurance to the assurance. And now I'm saying I can save anybody. Jesus said, "Bring them all! The heart attacks and all the cripples and the disabled people. This is the year of the disabled." Jesus would save anybody. Because God so loved the world.
He must bring it in your life.
But you'll destroy yourself.
He must bring it in your mind. And set you free from passion and pride. He must reign,
or you'll perish eternally. Thank God he has taken nearly 2,000 years to sit on the throne of human heart. And Israel's waiting. And the world's waiting. And Jesus knows what it's going to be like when he comes to reign. When his feet stand on all of it. And he crushes all opposition. And his bride is with him over the mountain there. Stretching for miles those millions and millions and millions of people. And he'll take over the nations of earth. We have as his staff, all kings have a good staff. We have as his staff on earth, the serpent. The Old Testament saints, the tribulation saints, those who died in the tribulation, faithful to Christ and have been raised again, and those who went through the tribulation and didn't take the mark of the beast. They'll be on the earth, and the bride of Christ will just be above the earth, within sight of it, you know? And he'll be commuting from one to the other, and we'll be watching. That's going to be marvelous. For every person who's reigning over the earth, over, the Bible says over, the word over means as birds fly over, not as the queen reigns over the country. She's on it, reigning over it. Not that way. As birds would fly over it, would really be above it. Forming, let's say, a satellite city. Every person in that throng will have received Jesus personally into their heart. And he'll be on the throne of their heart before he's on Israel's royal throne on earth. Are you saved? Are you saved? Have you got it? What are you waiting for? He wants to reign. He wants to rule. He wants you to be his kingdom. Just you. Try and think about that, will you? If you're a Christian. That he wants your home to be his home. Your business to be his business. He doesn't mind what name you put up outside. Put your own up if you want. As long as he's ruling it. He wants your circle of friends to be his circle of friends. He wants every morning that you get up to say, rule me, Lord. Guide me, Lord. Just like Mary from Magdala, that dear girl who knew what sin was, that dear girl who was pressurized by Satan, she saw him and thought he was a gardener. I think that's a wonderful story. She was there to seek him and find him. And he spoke to her and he said, Mary. And she fell at his feet and she said, Rabboni. Which means master. I'd love that somebody would have handed her the words and music. And just that sing there. What would you think? King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Let me, like Mary, through the gloom, come with some gift to thee. Show to me now the empty tomb. Lead me to Calvary. At this moment, why will you not come to Calvary in your thoughts? Destroy death, and destroy sin, and destroy the devil, and with a mighty victor, and prove he was the king, and allow them to take him down, and wrap him up in spices, and in linen, to prove he was dead, because there are still people who say he wasn't dead, but he was dead. The 100 pounds of spices would have poisoned his body, alone, if he hadn't been dead before he was taken down. But he was indestructible So he rose again from the dead. King of death. King of glory. King of life. King of kings. And he stands outside your heart. May I come in? May I come in? The monarch of the universe. The Lord of glory. The King of kings. And if he has entered in, and you are a Christian, he wants the throne. He wants you to take him to the throne room of your life tonight. And say, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Rule in your kingdom. It's time you all abdicated and got out of the road and begin to live life the way it should be lived. With him on the throne and you on the footstool at the feet. God bless you. Jesus.